Do you have your Bibles this morning? Do I want you to take them and I want you to hold them up. I want you to repeat after me. I am going to allow this word to govern my conduct and my beliefs. All right, you can put your Bibles down. Turn to Psalms 19. I'm very worried and very concerned about the future generations. It seems as though that the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture is under attack. Today, people want different means or different methods to reach the world. They believe the best way to have a church that's growing and thriving is to adopt the values of the world. You can walk into any Christian bookstore and there's books that will tell you about how to have a growing, tithing church. I'll tell you the best way for us to have a church that pleases the Lord, and that's to do what the Word of God teaches. We're in a society today, unless they can have it on their Wii game or some other video game, unless it's modernized or sophisticated or we're able to plug it into our computers, we don't believe that it's adaptable to our society or to our generation. And that is a lie. Amen. This Word is the Word of God. And it's adaptable and has been for generations of the past and will be applicable for the generations of the future. We need the Word of God saturating our minds and our lives to govern our conduct and our beliefs. The Word of God has a sufficiency to do that. It needs to have authority to do that in your life. And in these passages, and I've read, I guess, and I've preached from the 19th Psalm. I'm going to read the entire Psalm. I don't know when the last time I preached from the 19th Psalm. I probably, when I did, put more emphasis on the first part of it than the last part of it. But I'll begin reading in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day into day utter a speech, and night into night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, His circle upon the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired. Now he's talking about, let's pause here just for a moment. In the early part of this psalm, up until verse 7, the first six verses have reference to what theologians call the general revelation of God, that the heavens declare that there is a God. That the attributes, or many of the attributes of God, the Godhead is being revealed by creation. It testifies to the fact that there is a God. But in the latter part of this psalm, he talks more specifically, not about a general revelation, but a specific revelation that is given to us about God through His holy word. And he says this revelation, the word of God, it is a precious, special, priceless treasure. More to be desired are they? Now, he had specifically talked about, and he gave us seven references to the Word of God, its character, its design, and its benefit. And then he says, this Word, the Word of God, is to be of more value, more desired of His people than the wealth of this world. Now, I began this message by saying that I am concerned. Can we honestly say, those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, those of us that claim to be the children of God, those of us that claim to be the people of God, can we honestly say that our Bibles are of greater value to us than our bank accounts, than our cars, than our houses, than our possessions? And if we can't say that, then we are under, we are in a situation of great danger. And that truly concerns me. Some of the older people in my life, one of the things that I've noted and about their life, and one of the things that was very obvious to me about their life, is that old Bible was worn and tattered. They loved and appreciated and enjoyed the Word of God. Amen. Of how much value is it to us today? David said that the Word of God is more to be desired. He'd rather be reading and studying and listening to the preaching and the prophesying of God's holy word than enjoying the pleasures of this world, enjoying the wealth of this world, enjoying all of the fancy possessions of the world. One of the reasons our lives are in jeopardy and we're in great danger is because we no longer have the kind of appreciation for the Word of God that our forefathers had. We no longer consider it having a sufficiency to provide our needs. Listen, anything that goes on in your life, the answer is found in the Word of God. And if you will conform to the Word of God and God's design for you, your life and your marriage and your family will be a happy family, a happy life, disciplined children, productive children in society. We will have lives that will honor and glorify God. More to be desired. Now, I have a lot of different proof texts that I could go to concerning this one particular passage of Scripture. Maybe I'm camping out here in the beginning. I meant to just camp out here at the end. But maybe I'm camping out here in the beginning because I really want to stress this point. It's obvious to me, and I'm sure it's obvious to you, that there is a lack of appreciation for the Word of God in the hearts of God's people. And it seems like with every generation, I mean, even in my lifetime, we're slipping a little further and a little further and a little further. Listen, I know there's a lot of offered gimmicks and devices that the world is providing the church today. A lot of people go to Christian bookstores and they glean and they go down through there and they purchase one of these books that basically is founded upon men's opinion rather than the Word of God, and it's the philosophy of men and not the truth of God, and they're changing and transforming their life or conforming their life to man's opinions, and it's not working. Marriages are still failing, and I'll tell you why we're having these failures in the church. It's because we are not conforming to the Word of God. We're not letting the Word of God form our belief system and our worldview.
Amen.
What's dwindled in the hearts and minds and lives of many Christians is the lack of appreciation for the authority and the sufficiency of God's Word. I want to say this. From the depths of my heart, as your pastor, I love the Word of God. Love it. Oh, how it has helped me and sustained me and given joy and happiness to my life. I'll be honest with you, I don't know where I would be today if it wasn't for the Word of God. It has guided me and helped me. The psalmist said it is of more desire than gold. Yay, I'm telling you, he says yay in verse 10, than much, very much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Oh, the taste of God's holy word for our lives. Let me read the rest of this psalm. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Listen, you need the Word of God. Amen. He says, which of us really can understand when we're doing something wrong if it wasn't for the Word of God? How will we know that we're pleasing God or we're not pleasing God if it wasn't for this specific revelation that has been given to us? The Word of God. Not only these small things that happen or things that transpire in our life, but also those more presumptuous things. But who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, mistakes that we make. Many times, the Bible tells us that we offend God on a daily basis. Amen. And we need a cleansing. We need to repent of those things that we fail to do, whether it's sin of omission or things that we just omit from our lives that we should be doing for God. Secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You know, a lot of our parents nowadays think that they can, they go and they read books on how to be good parents or how to raise a child or what is the best thing to feed them or clothe them or what kind of environment to set them in, what kind of school they need to go to. We have all of these things that we go to the world and we seek counsel concerning raising our children. You know what the best thing you can do for your kid is? Fill his life with the Word of God. Amen. We've suddenly lost sight of that. Amen. And we've begun to conform to the world, and we're actually saying that the world's philosophy is better for our kids than thus saith the Lord. Amen. And that's dangerous. Amen. Now, I don't have a problem. You know, a lot of parents go around, well, we want to keep our kids busy to keep them out of trouble. I'll tell you what you need to keep them busy in, the Word of God. Amen. And instead of keeping them busy in the Word of God, we keep them busy in sports, and we keep them busy in all these other activities, and we keep them busy in other things, whether it's playing an instrument. We're saturating their lives with drama and other things. And I'll tell you what we need to saturate their life with: the Word of God. It is a proven fact, and I made this statement when I read it 20 years ago. I've made it many times from this pulpit. It's a proven fact that if you'll teach your kids to memorize the Word of God on a regular basis, it will help them in school. I know you won't read that in the Tennessean or any of these other secular papers, but it is a proven fact. somehow, mystically, mysteriously, that the Word of God helps our minds, and we know it blesses our hearts. It'll keep us from these presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. You want to keep your kids out of trouble? Keep them in the Word of God. Now, I've made this statement. I'm going to make it again. Statistically, I have examined my life from the very time I can remember going to church. And the kids that were brought on Wednesday nights to Bible study and prayer meeting, a larger percentage of them stayed in church than those that didn't. Now, you can accept that or you can reject that. It is a proven fact, and I stake my reputation on it. You know why? Because they were filled with more of God's Word. And they stayed in church. Their families are in church. Many of their kids are being brought to church. But there's a change that's transpiring. They were so filled with the Word of God, they didn't even realize that it was the very thing that has brought them to where they're at. And I'm afraid that they're not bringing their children up in it. And all it takes is one generation. The Word of God will keep us from presumptuous sins that can have dominion over us and destroy our lives. It helps us to live upright and shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Listen, there are great transgressions that a person can commit and it can really mess your life up. I mean, you just can't get it fixed. It's there. It's in your reputation. It's in who you are. You know, it's like a scarlet letter, if you will. There are some things you can get forgiveness for, but you can't get out of paying for. I'm telling you, friend, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you far more than you're willing to pay. Listen. The Word of God is a safeguard. What was it that Jesus used in defeating the devil? When He was here giving us our example, when the devil comes to tempt us. When the devil came in the 4th chapter of Matthew and said, "Make these stones into bread." What did Jesus say? In every single temptation, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our example, He gave the response, "It is written." I'm afraid today when Satan comes to many of God's people, they want to sing a song. Singing won't get it done. You need the Word of God. The infallible Holy Ghost written inerrant Word of God is all you need to defeat Satan. Some want to sing a song or have a little dance or maybe play some kind of Christian bingo or something to get around Satan's devices. But I'm telling you, nothing else will do but the Word of God. Amen. Jesus is our example. The Word of God teaches that. We can stand firm and stand strong if we stand on the Word of God. I want to have the reputation of being a Bible-toting, Bible-thumping Baptist preacher. As far as I'm concerned, if you really believe the Bible, you'll be a Baptist. Amen. And if you're really a Baptist, you'll believe the Bible. Amen. This is the Word of God. It reveals to us God's character. It tells us what God wants us to do. Amen. We read it and we do it. We believe it. I don't care much about the opinions of men, but I do care about the opinion of God. Amen. Let the word of thy mouth and the meditation of my heart be according to thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. George Mueller said one time about the Word of God, he said, The vigor of our spiritual life will be in the exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our lives and our thoughts. In exact proportion. Your level of spirituality, your level of vigorous spiritual life is in exact proportion to the Word of God. Listen, knowing more of God's Word does not make you non-spiritual, it makes you more spiritual. We went through a little era of time there where we thought ignorance was spiritual. Oh, come on. Come on now. And that's not true. And I believe this, and I want to make this real clear. The Bible in and of itself is sufficient to form your belief system and to guide your life. The problem is we're not allowing the Bible to have the authority to govern over our lives. And that's a major problem. And I believe it is hurting us spiritually. You might say, well, our forefathers only went to church like once a month or twice a month. But I'll tell you what, you go to their homes and their Bibles would be beaten and tattered. Worn, read daily. They were on their knees and in the Word of God. You know why they didn't need as much church as you do? Because they stayed in the Word. Didn't they? You ask some of these older folks. I know, I've seen their Bibles. They're in the Word of God. We're not in the Word of God like we need to be and like we should be. These Christian bookstores, they're full of books that offer all kinds of advice, don't they? Just about every conceivable subject. Do you believe that studying, teaching, and applying the Word of God is alone sufficient for you and your family? Do we have to have a party to keep your family in church? Huh? Do you need a workout center so you'll have a spiritual family? Come on now. Do you really believe the Bible and its teaching and its and the principles of its Word, of the Word of God, is sufficient to supply your needs? Amen. Our forefathers rallied around the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. And we need to renew that rally around the Word of God. When did we lose our confidence in the sufficiency of Scripture? I think most of that has been lost due to the fact that others never had it or don't have it. When did we lose our appreciation and our enthusiasm for the Word of God? Now let me say this. I have seen that enthusiasm in your eyes from time to time. In the teaching of God's Word, in the reading of God's Word, in the study of God's Word, I've seen that enthusiasm, that glow, that love, that fire kindled in your heart in love and appreciation for the Word of God. But I've also seen it dwindle to some degree. And it needs to be re-elevated. The Scripture and its authority and its sufficiency needs to be elevated. And it ought to be considered important to all of us. It is through the Word of God and the Word of truth that the church is sanctified and set apart. Jesus prayed that in John 17:17. We know that the Pharisees, according to Mark 12:24, that they erred not knowing the Scripture. The quickest way for people to fall into error is them not knowing Scripture. This Bible is it's an armor of heavenly weapons. It's a laboratory of infallible medicine It's a mine of inexhaustible wealth. It's a guidebook for every road of life. And it's a chart for every sea that you sail through the course of your life. Let's notice briefly just a few things that's revealed in these passages of Scripture. We notice the first half focused on the general revelation of God, like Paul said in Romans 1 and 20, that the invisible things are clearly revealed by the creation of this world, that there is a God. And though we have this general revelation, and it reveals sufficiently the fact that there is a God, we still need an additional revelation to understand the saving work and the saving grace of God. Notice, first of all, as we begin in verse 7, I want us to notice hurriedly six titles that are given for the Word of God. I want us also from verses 7 through 14, not only notice six titles, but also I want us to notice, look in these passages in the 19th Psalm, that there's also six characteristics and six benefits. As you read, starting there in verse 7, notice what it says. The law of the Lord is perfect. All right? First of all, we have an additional title for the Word of God. It is referred to in this particular passage as the law. The Word of God is God's law. More specifically, the Hebrew in this particular passage is the Torah. In other words, it is divine teaching, revealing to us what we should be and what we should believe. The Word of God is the law, teaching us what we should be and what we should believe. The Word of God tells us what kind of character we should have and what we should cultivate and how we ought to live. So, the first title that's given to us in verse 7 is that the Word of God is the law. What is its characteristic? Well, he says it is the law, but it is also what? He says the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. Now, most of us that have studied Scripture know that the word perfect also makes reference to something being complete, something sufficient. Not only a whole completeness, but a sufficiency. The Word of God covers every aspect of our lives. Now, I know this may have stunned you just a little bit, but I'll be honest with you. I don't believe you need anything other than the Word of God. Amen. I'm not opposed to study aids. All right? I'm not opposed to that. I use a computer. I've got, eSword, and I've got several computer programs. But let's not lose sight of the fact this is the Word of God. Many of those margins in our Bibles, even the references in our Bibles, were put there by men. The chapters and verses were put there by men. Let's know what the Word of God is and what the Word of God is not. We do know this, that God's Word, His inspired Word, it is perfect. It'll cover every aspect of your life. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe in the sufficiency of God's Word? That everything you need to know about God is given to us in the Word of God. Wow, isn't that something? The law of the Lord is perfect. And what does it do for us? He says it revives the soul. You know what that means? He's speaking of our conversion. He's talking about the transforming, the restoring and the refreshing that happens in our souls. Listen, salvation and the gospel and the truth that we preach is not disconnected from the Word of God. It all links together. You need the Word of God in order for your soul to be revived. I don't know about you, but I believe when the Holy Spirit is accompanied with the Word of God, it's powerful. Yeah, Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4 and 12, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, to joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God will get down in your soul, and it will change it. Wow. So, the Word of God, its divine teaching has the capacity to transform a person's life. The word soul in the Hebrew is nephesh. And it talks about the inner person. See, it not only changes us in saving us, but it also sanctifies us. You need the Word of God in order to be saved, and you need the Word of God in order to be sanctified. Amen. All right, I need to move on through here. No wonder Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. That's what people need today. People need the preaching of the Word. It's the Word, the law of the Lord. It's what's perfect. Got too many preachers preaching their opinions and giving you all kinds of advice that's out of their imaginary, out of their sanctified imagination or something, and not out of the Word of God. Oh, I love God's holy word. Preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Look on there in verse 7 what he says. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Number 2, a second title, the testimony. The testimony. Now I want you to notice something. Jehovah is used 6 times in here. Lord capitalized in the Old Testament is Yahweh. The King James translated it in all capital letters in your King James to emphasize the fact that the word, the name of the Lord is used. Yahweh is the word that's used there. Notice, he says in these passages, the testimony of the Lord. And I think that the word Lord of the Lord is a key phrase. And it's used 6 times through these passages. And it identifies for us the source of the sufficiency. This is the Lord's word. Not Tim's word. Not Brother Vanderpool's word. Not Brother Shoulder's word. Not your word. But this is the word of Yahweh, Jehovah God. It identifies the source of these things. Okay, so it's the testimony. He says the testimony. Another title that's given for us in these passages of Scripture, the testimony of the Lord. I think that is a poetic parallel with the law of the Lord, both of which are talking about. It's a title for the Word of God, the Bible that we have. The Bible, God's Word, the testimony given to us. It shows who He is and what He requires of us. What is it? It is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. People, you can build your lives on the Word of God. We need to stand steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the Word of God. We need to stand firm and fast on the testimony of God because it is sure. It's a solid, sure foundation for us. What's the benefit? Well, it makes the wise, that makes the wise simple. Makes the wise simple. What does that mean? Well, the root word for simple conveys the idea of an open door. We used to go into Salem Church and preach, and we'd go through the country years ago, and there was this one house we always went by. And you'd go by that house, and the door was always open, and he had pigs and chickens and I don't know what, all goats in his yard, and you'd see him going in and out of the house. His door was always open. And what this is implying is that the simple person is one who is like an open door. He doesn't know what to screen out. He lets anything in. Listen, if you're an open-minded person, you're a fool, according to the Word of God. There are things that we need to screen out. We need to filter out of our lives. And the Word of God makes us wise in order to understand what needs to come in and what needs to go out.
Amen.
Those that are simple, in this particular passage of Scripture, when it's referring to everything coming in because people are unlearned or inexperienced or unable to discern, I'm amazed how people are proud of their open-mindedness nowadays. Churches are proud to be open-minded and let anything in. Listen, we need the Word of God to help us understand what needs to come in and what needs to go out. All right, let's move on. Verse 8. I have many references, but I'm going to skip over them. Look at verse 8. He not only says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple, but the statutes of the Lord are right. Listen, they're right for you. The precepts of the Lord, which mean His divine principles. You know the difference between a precept and a principle? A precept is like a road sign like we saw on our way down to Florida that said, speed limit, 70 miles an hour. That's a precept. A principle is that we entered into the state of Florida and it said, drive safe. Both are found in God's Word. We have precepts and we have principles. And all of the principles and precepts of God's Word, they're right for you. When you conform your life to them, they were right for our forefathers, they're right for us. They're right for the old people and they're right for the young people. No difference. They were right for the church yesterday and they're right for the church today. It shows every believer this characteristic of him being right, the right spiritual path and guide and way for our understanding. And the result is, what's the result? Notice the result. This is good. All right. They're right. What do they make the heart do? What's the result? What's it say there in verse 8? Makes the heart rejoice. I've never seen so many sad looking people in all my life. And I'll tell you, part of our sadness, part of our discouragements and our depressions and part of our long-facedness is the result of a lack of adapting our lives to the Word of God. Because when you're adapting your life to the Word of God, it'll make you rejoice. It'll make you happy. It'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. He said it makes the heart rejoice. Look in Psalm 119 verse 14. He says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony. Look in Psalms 119 verse 111. He says, the testimony I have taken as a heritage forever, for thy are the rejoicings of my heart. Does the Word of God really make you rejoice? Are you happy? Is it more fun for you than bowling or baseball or other activities of the world? Probably not for our kids. I'd say it's not that way for many of our adults. We'd rather be boating or fishing or doing something else. That makes our heart rejoice more than the Word of God. See, we've got a problem. We've got a problem. When the Word of God doesn't cause us to be excited and rejoice as it should, we've got a problem. I assure you that if you'll adapt yourself to the Word of God, it will. If you'll study it, meditate on it, read it, amen? It will cause you to have a joy. Listen to me. It will cause you to have, it's its design and purpose to give you a joyful life. Cause your heart to rejoice. All right, I'll hurriedly go through the rest of these. I don't want to weary your patience with the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, they're right. They're good for you. And they'll make your heart rejoice. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Commandment here just emphasizes its authority, its binding characteristic. The commandment of the Lord, it's pure. In other words, I guess a good translation for pure, which I would adopt, is that it's clear. It's simple. It's understandable. It's clear. Listen, it's not hard to know what God wants for your life. It's not complicated. The Word of God is clear. He says it's clear, and its benefit is that it illuminates the eye, gives light to the eye. Isn't the Word of God a lamp to our feet, light to our path? Fifthly, notice, he says that in this passage, that the fear of the Lord is clean. He titles the word fear synonymous with the Word of God. We've noticed already in these passages, the Word of God is referred to as the law, is referred to as the testimony, is referred to as the precepts or the statutes, is referred to as the commandments, and it's also in verse 9 referred to as the fear. The fear of the Lord is clean. Can you take a bath in the Word of God? What did Paul say in writing to the people of Ephesus? That the Word of God is able to wash us, that we need a washing of the water by the what? By the Word. It's cleansing. And it endures forever. Listen, there are things that you can't get under the blood unless you conform your life to the Word of God. You can't repent of them unless you are willing to conform to the Word of God. In other words, true repentance requires change. Letting the Scriptures have authority over your life in that area. All right. Cleansing. Endureth forever. Never changes. Doesn't need any alteration. What cleansed our forefathers? What brought them to the fountain and drank the living water brings people to the fountain today. Hasn't changed. The commandments of the Lord are that you must be born again, that you must repent. That hasn't changed. Listen, there's not some newfound method or way to get you to heaven. You must be saved. And in order to receive this cleansing, you must come to the Lord. One of the problems that I've discovered, and I think this is one of the problems that one particular person that I've got a burden for, I think that they're having. They wouldn't mind being saved, wouldn't mind going to heaven. Really would like to escape hell, if at all possible. But they don't believe the Word of God to be true. You got a problem. Serious problem. And you won't get to heaven. You won't be saved unless you believe the Word of God to be true. I'm going to close. The sixth thing he says is that the judgment of the Lord or the rule of the Lord is true. In other words, it provides us legal decrees for life. And for our eternal destiny. It's always true. The Word of God is always true. It's dependable. And the results are that it's righteous altogether, free from error. I want to close in saying this. Not only is the Word of God the law, the testimony, the precepts or statutes, the commandments, the fear, but it's also the judgments for mankind. The Bible says if you don't repent, you'll perish. Amen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen just the way Jesus said it was going to happen. In sundry times and divers manners, He spoke to us by the prophets, and in these last times, He has spoken to us by His Son. And what the Bible says about your soul, and about your life, and about your destiny, If you don't embrace it and believe it, it's going to happen still the same. Just as God's Word says it will. But unless you conform to it and believe it and embrace it, you'll never have eternal life. As we stand at our feet and we select a song, if you're here today and you're one of those, you wouldn't mind being a Christian, or maybe you're one of these fickle Christians that just doesn't really believe the Word of God to be true or not applicable to you. Maybe you think you're special. I'm amazed at the number of Christians I've found nowadays that think they're an exemption of the Word of God. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm exempt from what it says, is what basically some people are saying. And I'm saying, no, you're not. Paul wrote to the young minister Timothy and says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. For all scripture is given of inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for reproof. For correction, reproof in doctrines of and in righteousness. And he went on and said this. He said that if you would conform, that as he conformed his life to it, his life would glorify the Lord. And I'll tell you something. If you want a life that glorifies the Lord, you have to conform. So the Scripture, for all Scripture is given of inspiration of God. He said that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished. Thoroughly furnished. Yeah. Yeah. Profitable unto every good works. You cannot glorify God unless you conform your life to Scripture.
Amen.
You'll stand your feet. We'll sing a verse of some song.
Page number 205. Page number 205.